Hello to all of my people! Welcome back to a new episode of the podcast! Yay! Today, I am gonna tell you my top 10 tricks for planning the best European vacation. So, I have a list on my phone, so I'm gonna be looking down and reading my phone quite a lot during this episode. But to kick us off, we first need to open my beverage of choice for today. I'm drinking a San Pellegrino sparkling water because the grocery store is selling it for a very cheap price. So, bougie water. Cheers, everybody. The reason we're doing planning a vacation right now is that we're halfway through winter. Spring is here, probably, or kind of, depending where you are. And it's time to start thinking about summer plans. Summer vacation! Summer vacation! Yay! So, we are going to talk about 10 tips to make your Europe vacation awesome. Tip number one, price determines a lot. So, every time I travel, and I'm doing this for quite a long time, I always used to spend way more than I budgeted, which sucked because I was just like, I had a budget, I was gonna stick under here. Now I have to go home and work harder or get like a part-time job to make up the money I overspent. Yeah, the problem with that was not the budget. The plan was me. So anytime you travel, it's going to be about 20% more than you plan on. So say for example, your budget is $500. That's the max you want to spend. Plan a trip that costs you no more than $400 because there's going to be $100 of stuff that happens during that trip that you did not plan on. Maybe it's a taxi ride if the trains are on strike, maybe it's an extra dinner, maybe it's who knows what. Maybe your shoes break and you need new shoes. Something's going to go over budget during the trip. So make sure that you budget enough for that 20% buffer. I don't know why it's 20%, it just always is. So that's tip number one. Tip number two. Oh, I kind of organize this in a different way on my phone. Check the off season. So, as you probably can tell from a lot of the videos on my YouTube channel, I travel a lot in the off season. And part of it is because I prefer low tourist season when there's not as many people on my videos. The other part is that it's extremely cheaper. I save about 50% less if I can, wait. I save about 50% of a trip if I travel in the off season as if I did in the on season. So yeah, make sure that you plan that accordingly and plan it well. Now, if you have a job, which I assume you do if you're going on vacation, I guess you could have a trust fund. If you have a trust fund, and or just have some sort of income coming in you and into your household, and you need someone to share it with, I'm here. You can send some money my way. But yeah, a lot of us have to work a 9-to-5 job in order to do this. So if you have a trust fund, good on you. Way to go, enjoy your life. If you don't, you probably have to schedule this in at work. Now there is some flexibility sometimes at certain companies and certain jobs and certain managers. So if you're working in the desk job, maybe you can talk to your manager and ask, instead of taking vacation, during a, let's say, Easter long weekend, you can ask to take those holidays and move them before or after the Easter long weekend when prices are cheaper. Now, what your manager gets on that is they get someone to work during when no one else is there. So they may need someone to just hold the fort down and, run business while everyone else is out on Easter holiday. Some jobs don't allow for this flexibility. Some managers don't allow for it. So if you're thinking about it, and if you think your manager may be open to the conversation, open that conversation because the amount that you will save, basically, you can go on two trips for the price of one, and it's totally worth it. Third tip, stay too short. What do I mean by this? So, have you ever gone on vacation before or gone over to someone's house and you're like, yeah, we're gonna stay all weekend and it's gonna be great and we'll do this and this and this and awesome fun? Yeah. And then you get there and you're like, I forgot how much I hated this situation, this experience. Get me out of here. Plan to stay too short. It's better to leave a place and you want to stay longer than it is to stay too long and you're just like, get me the hell out of here. So, whenever you're planning a vacation, if you're doing a multi-city trip, if you're doing, just one destination trip, stay what you think is going to be at least 50% too short. This way, if it's dreadful, then you'll leave anyway very soon. And if it's awesome, you know you're gonna come back and you can kind of plan how much time you wanna come back with. Tip number four, fly direct. So, why do I say fly direct? Because flying and layovers and airports and everything else is a pain in the butt. And this will get into multi-city European traveling in a bit. But when you fly direct, if you have a flight that's canceled, if you have a flight that's delayed, you don't have to deal with any of that. You already have plans in that city and you can explore that city. Now, if you're doing a multi-city trip, so say you're coming from North America and you want to go to Europe. There's a couple of major airports in Europe that you fly usually long haul direct into. There's Zurich, there's Munich, there's Frankfurt, there's London, there's Amsterdam, there's Copenhagen. Those are some of the major ones. Now, a really fun option is fly into one of those airports, rent an airport or hotel, drop all your bags and stuff there, go explore the city for a day or two, and then from that location, go to somewhere else in Europe on a direct flight. We'll get into more of the flights in a bit, and I have another podcast where I talk about airlines and like how to pick a good airline, how to pick an airline that flies airplanes. I'm not gonna call them bad, but there's some ones I prefer and there's some ones that I do if I must. Anyway, teaser for later. So yeah, fly direct. And long layovers are your friend. Now, how do you find a long layover and why are they your friend? Well, a long layover will allow you to go explore halfway through the city. So you heard about my adventure in Istanbul. That was on a long layover. So what happened is that I was trying to book a flight to, go from somewhere through Istanbul to somewhere else. I didn't know how long I wanted to stay in Istanbul. And I think it was like a 47 or something hour layover, which was perfect. It was enough time for me to go experience the city, take a shower, have some good non-airplane food, and then come back and then get back on the airplane. So a long layover can actually just give you a taste of what a city is to see if you want to come back later or not. Highly, highly recommend this. For me, who also is pretty active in my day life, I like these long layovers so I can just get out of the airplane, go walk, 30, 40,000 steps, come back, go to bed, and then get on the airplane the next day and rest. I forgot what number we're on. So on my list, I ordered these in a way that I thought would make sense when I talked about them, and I don't know if it's making sense as I talk about them. So the next tip I have, storage lockers are great. Now, when I lived in North America, I only encountered this type of thing when I lived in New York City. But what a storage locker is, it's this locker where you put your luggage in. And seasoned travelers 100% will use these all of the time. Whenever you're on a layover or if you're in the city for maybe 20 hours and you're just like, I don't want to haul the suitcase everywhere. I have everything I need in my backpack. This is fine. What you do, you go into one of these storage locker places and they're usually attached to every airport. They're usually attached to bus stations. There's also some convenience stores that hold luggage for you. Drop your luggage there. You'll get a little ticket that's like, yep, this is, the ticket. They tag it on your bag like they would tag it in a hotel. And then you just go on your way. And then whenever you come back and pick up your luggage. Now, I've used these so much in my travels. I think the longest I've left my luggage in a storage locker is like 75 days. The max you can leave it in there is for 90 days. So just make sure that if you're on a long trip and leaving your luggage in one of these lockers, less than 90 days is a really good call. Otherwise, they just take it. And then, send your clothes to somewhere, and I don't know what else they do with it, but yeah, no more than 90 days. Now, the longer you leave your luggage there, it kind of gets expensive, so plan that into your whole budget of everything. For cost, again, it depends on the city. When I was in France, I left my luggage in a locker for like 2 euros. When I was in London, I left my luggage in the locker and it was like £300. So, it varies by place, but it's so convenient. So another place that you can really use an effective place of a luggage locker, say you're doing a multi-trip around Europe, and let's say you fly into Frankfurt and you're like, cool, I'm in Frankfurt, I got my massive suitcase with everything in it. And then maybe you're gonna do a train ride somewhere, and then a little airplane ride somewhere else, and then you'll come back through Frankfurt. Maybe you're going up to Helsinki next, or some hopping around Europe with Frankfurt as your hub. Leave your big suitcase in Frankfurt and just use it like a storage locker. So whenever you're coming back through Frankfurt, go get your suitcase out, get some new clothes or whatever, put it back in, and then go up. This way, you don't have to carry it around everywhere with you. And because you do a lot of walking in Europe, it kind of gets heavy and sweaty after a while, and sometimes a pain in the butt to carry around a suitcase. So, figure out how you can use storage lockers. A question I get quite often is, are they safe? And I would answer you, is anything safe? Like, it's just stuff. Don't leave your passport in there. Don't leave anything that you would actually need to get back home in there. But, guys, it's just stuff. If you're safe, your stuff can be replaced. I haven't had any issues with them, but that's not to say that no one has had any issues with them. I don't know. So use it. Time for a drink of my San Pellegrino water. Refreshing. Okay, our next tip for planning your best European vacation. Save the best flight for last. Now, what I mean for this, save your most expensive flight for last. Make sure you take care of future you. See, when you go on vacation, you're gonna be super excited, and if you have to sit in that middle seat for 9 hours, you'll suck it up. You're going on vacation, you're all excited, you don't have to work. But coming back, you're gonna be a little bit tired. You have work to dread to go back to. Everything's a little bit, why? So, save your best flight for last. Now, if you're flying long haul, this is where I recommend trying to see if you can get a cabin upgrade. So, fly economy out and then maybe fly premium economy back, or fly, one class more back. Obviously, if you can afford a larger, like the premium cabins both ways, 100% do that. It's going to make your exploration time and jet lag recovery time way better. But whatever you do, make sure that that flight coming back is your best flight coming back. If you're going on a long trip, so let's say over 4 or 5 days, you want to make sure that you plan a down day. Now, for me, today's my down day. I have no pants on, I have shorts on, and I have socks on. Audio viewers, I just showed everybody my nice fluffy Hoka socks that I have on, and I am wearing my gym shorts because it's my down day and I didn't feel like wearing pants today. Why do you need a down day? Sometimes you just need a day to sleep in until 8 o'clock, to wash your hair really good, to watch a bunch of Netflix, to chill, to do laundry, to do ironing. If you don't plan these down days, it's going to be a disaster, and then you're going to have to figure out where do you fit in these down days or this downtime in your already busy schedule, and it's super stressful. So when I'm traveling quite a lot in continental Europe, meaning like not an island like the UK or the Grand Canary Islands or Ireland or whatever, my down day usually will consist of a long train or a long bus ride. So, something at 7 or 8 hours. And then coming out of that, I usually go into a laundromat. In the laundromat, just pop on my headphones, listen to a podcast, play a video game, read a book. I don't think I put this down on my list here for you, but talking about a laundromat, make sure that you have cash if you're planning a down day.
Now, usually I'm like, oh, Europe's fully card and whatever else. I'll tell you the full story, later. It's a hilarious story. But there was this time where I needed to do laundry. Like, I was out of laundry. I had been washing everything in the sink for, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks, and I just needed some machine washed, tumble dried clothes. By the way, if you can hear some background noise, sorry about that. This hotel, well, I love it. Is just busy cleaning all day because check-in and check-outs are at random times, so they keep the hotel very clean and there are vacuum cleaners and people in the hallway. So, cash. Make sure you have some cash, make sure you have some coins, especially if you're gonna need to go wash clothes. A lot of laundromats do use card, but the laundromats that are open at weird times of the day, which you may need to access, usually only use cash. Just a little bit of cash is fine. Okay, down day. Oh, the other tips I told you to do on down day. Have a nice meal. So sometimes when you're traveling, it's so busy and you're just like, nah, I'll just grab a salad from the grocery store. I'll just do this quick thing here, this quick thing here, this quick thing there. Make sure that you treat yourself to a nice meal because your body does need fueled. And even though you may be eating stuff that your body's not used to, you may feel bloated or whatever. Make sure that you give yourself a lot of good nutrients on that down day so it can just do a lot of recovery, so you can sleep better at night and all of that sort of stuff. So where do you go? Now this one is fun. This is tip number 9. How do you pick on where you're going to Europe? Now I've helped many people travel to Europe before. I've toured many people around Europe, and the first question is like, ah, let's do this and this and this and this and this. And then, I can start plotting it out, and it's like, cool, that's gonna be a 29-day trip. You're gonna be flying on, every other day or doing this train ride every other day. Amazing fun. But that is quite of a lot of an intense trip. There's so much to see here. Like, Europe is massive. And the other thing about Europe, if you're coming from North America, is that it's very cultural. So everywhere you go is a different culture. Like, even if you're, we'll pick on the UK for example. Even if you're going to stay within the UK, going from Ireland to Wales to England to Scotland, you're seeing an entirely different part of the country. Like, entirely different cultures. Even if you go in England, from north of England to south of England, entirely different culture. So when you're planning, just plan around that. Maybe you want to stick with, similar cultures and just do a bunch of stuff in there. So Spain, for example, is a really good example of how you can stay in one place for a month and experience different cultures. You can land in Madrid, and Madrid can be your home base, and then you can just travel by train, by airplane. I think there's like 36 airports or something crazy in Spain. But how do you pick where to go? There's never a wrong decision. And that's the thing that you need to be aware of when you're traveling. Like, even if you're staying domestic, even if you're staying within your own country or your own province or your own state, never can be a bad decision. You're going to experience something new. You're going to relax. You're going to enjoy this life outside of this crazy 9-to-5 job that you probably have to work. So enjoy the journey. In Europe specifically, I usually suggest keeping it regional. So if you want to go to the Nordics, maybe hit up Finland and Sweden, or Sweden and Norway, or just stay in one of the countries. There's so much to see in a single country. If you want to go more Eastern Europe, doing like Estonia and Latvia and Lithuania, they're all very small and connected countries. Super, super good idea. For a bigger country, for example, Italy, Romania, Spain, France, Germany, those are massive. Like, don't discount how large they are and how long it takes to get places. I think it takes about 6 hours from France if you want to go from the very north to the very south by train. Maybe a little bit longer. It's hugely long, big country. So you don't want to spend all of your time traveling, but then you also probably want to see some stuff. So there's like a little bit of a balance that you have to make. When I travel, I like to get up super early in the morning, go walk around, and then be back in my hotel, around 5 or 6 p.m., have a good dinner, get a good sleep, and then, repeat the next day. Now, this also means that if I'm doing town to town to town, back to back to back, like I did over Christmas, which I will tell you that story in a bit as well. What I would do is I'd get up in the morning, go walk around, and then if I needed to switch a town that day, I would get on a bus around 3 or 4 p.m. So by the time 3 or 4 p.m. came in, I already had like 40,000 steps in. I'd walked 30, 40 kilometers, and I was ready to be on that bus, take a long nap, and then get in the hotel, continue my sleep, and then wake up the next morning and do activities again. So make sure that when you're traveling, you also keep in mind like how the distance that you're gonna go to. If you've been traveling quite a lot, go anywhere. If it's your first time to Europe, try to go to a more Western country, and that's just purely for culture shock. Now, the reason I say this is that the first time I came to Europe and did a tourist trip outside of, I'm going to call it Western Europe. So, I'd been to Spain quite a lot. I'd been to Czech Republic quite a lot. But I went down to Napoli in Italy. And Napoli is so intense. Like, it has energy. There's cars on the road, and they all know the rules. I had no idea what the rules were. And, like, you're just swerving around everybody, and scooters are going everywhere. And, the horn is part of driving there. Some people's horns are breaking, and you just hear this. So, in Italy, and I guess Napoli specifically, it was so intense. And it was like jumping in the deep end of European travel. So the first time you go travel, I'd say, check out a place that's westernized. Rome, Madrid, Barcelona, London, all of those are great first time coming to Europe trips. They're also clearly European, but there's enough of tourist stuff and there's enough of English so that you can get around and just understand what's going on and have a really good time. Let's see, did I miss any other tips on that? Every city has something new to offer. Even if you pick the wrong place, enjoy it. This is your life, and if you hated it, that's a story that you bring back. There are places that I've been that I don't really like going back to. I have gone back to them. I've not necessarily enjoyed me going back to them, but that's fine. Like, it's just part of my life, and I'm like, well, this is where some people in the world live. Let's go explore and see how that goes. So keep an open mind when you travel. It may not be how it looks on vlogs, how it looks in the movies, how it looks in the tourist brochures. Stuff is always different. Like, even in the vlogs that I post, the actuality of the vlog versus what you see on the internet sometimes is different. You heard the story about what happened to me in Istanbul. That did not appear on the vlog. Like, I'm not gonna make a vlog about that. That's a podcast, man. So keep an open mind. And it's a really good segue into tip number 10, which, before we get there, a tasty, frothy beverage of San Pellegrino. Be prepared for culture shock. So, coming from North America, everyone is pretty chill in Europe if you compare the two. And I work in North America quite a lot still, and I notice this every time I go there. It just feels a little bit more uptight and a little bit more boom, 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 boom. I'm like, can we just chill? I'm sure the stereotype still is that every European smokes. Like, why are you taking so many smoke breaks? Because you're just chilling, you're enjoying life, you're loving it. So, whenever you come to Europe, make sure that you understand the time and the chill factor. If you could understand how time works in that country, it'll be way better and way less stress for you. For example, let's pick on Sweden for a bit. So, in Sweden, buses run on time. If the bus is 1 minute late, the bus driver will apologize to everybody. In London, the buses come, the bus will come. There is a suggested schedule, But the schedule never really works, and sometimes you're just hanging out at a bus stop for 30 minutes. So it's fine. Like, you just wait, the bus comes, you get on the bus, everyone's equally annoyed, and you're just like, well, at least it's only $1.75 to get on this bus ride, and at least that's all I'm wasting and not, sitting in a cab that's costing me £3 a minute. The other thing is, be happy. You're in Europe, you're on vacation. Stuff is absolutely different here. Stuff runs on a different time schedule. So yeah, stuff runs on a different time schedule here. So enjoy that new time schedule. I hope that this was a useful podcast for you. If you would like to hear more stuff like this, leave a comment. Like, subscribe, helps me grow the channel. Next episode, which is going to come out very shortly after this one because these two are interconnected, is how to pick an airplane. How do you know what airline to fly in Europe? How do you go find the cheapest flights? How do you go make sure that if your flight's canceled, you're taken care of? Or if you need to cancel a flight, you're taken care of. So continue to listen. That's going to come out a day after, whenever this one posts. If you're listening to these on repeat from in the future, though, then you can just listen to the next one right away. How to fly in Europe. So, yeah, thanks for listening. Ciao. Balloons!